Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody, for our continuing 2024-2025 preseason coverage. This is our Big East preview podcast. That's a lot less enthusiastic than what we did four podcasts ago, Griggs. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Up top with you.
We've been in here for 6 hours, Chad. It's hard to be enthusiastic.
Hey, we're only at our fourth conference. We got 27 more to go. I got David Griggs and David Dorman up top with me. John Slica down below me. To his side is John Tytel and Matt Zukowski joining us for the first time this season. As we take a look at the Big East, and, well, I'll tell you what, Matt, you're here.
Yeah.
You're a Marquette guy. Let's start with right with you and your team in this conference. We were just talking a bit before we started that a couple of us are very high on your team this year. And can you tell us what to expect out of Marquette this season?
I think it should be very good again. Maybe a half step below the last 2 years. Because, I mean, to replace Tyler Kolick and Osei Igudaro, who are both now getting paid fairly well to play the game. And then I think Kolick's going to be in the rotation out of possible champion New York Knicks. So. And that, but you still got Cam Jones, who was the third part of the three-headed monster last year. And I think some guys are ready to step up. I think like Chase Ross, David Joplin, Stevie Mitchell, Ben Gold. I think they're going to step up and do a little more featured role. And I think Shaq has proven that the development system has worked very well since he's come to Marquette. And I think this next group, you're going to see a couple of those guys pop with Cam Jones and be still a top 20, 25-level team, fighting for a protected seed, fighting for the top three in the Big East.
Yeah, Marquette number 18 in the preseason poll, one of three ranked Big Ten teams. And Dorman, I know you're kind of with me that maybe Marquette is even better than that number 18.
I think they're actually kind of underrated. I've seen them picked in the middle of this Big East conference, which I think is loaded with talent. But 4, 5, or 6, I don't see it. I think they're a top three team in this conference. I love Jones's game. I think he's a stud. I think he's the guy that can just absolutely pick it up this year and take his game to new heights. And that's the type of player I want on my team in March when I need a big bucket or I need someone to get hot for a game in the Final Four or to take me to the Final Four. I'll take Cam Jones any day.
Yeah, the Big East at the time we're recording this has not had their media day or released the preseason poll yet. Maybe they voted. Maybe some of you have seen it. I have not.
Maybe just the media. Sorry.
Yeah. How is it that? But yeah, you're right. All rumors are indicating that Marquette's going to be about in the middle of the conference, and I just think that that's insane. Yeah. I don't know if they'd be my number one pick, but there's probably in the top two or three. This team is good.
Just quick note: we are recording this on Wednesday, October 16th. I was. Of the teams that are ranked, they're third of the three ranked teams, for example. And they are, you know, I've seen preseason publications have them fourth or fifth as well. You're right. We haven't seen the official Big East poll. But Tytel, the team that came in at number 15 overall in the preseason polls, we already hinted at them a little bit, I think, is this Creighton team. And this is another team that should be very, very good this year, I think.
Should. Coach Greg McDermott lost his conference tourney opener to Providence last March, bounced back with a nice run of the Sweet 16 and then a 7-point loss to Tennessee. Brutal non-conference schedule this year. 7 in a row against top 100 teams. Nebraska, San Diego State, A&M, the Ducks, Kansas, UNL.
Did John freeze?
Yes.
Well, I'm assuming he was going to say UNLV, but like he caught off at UNL. He could have been talking about someone else. Anyway.
I think he was stunned that Kansas is actually going to the CHI Health Center this year.
Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman to my beautiful Boston Celtics.
Okay, yes, Tytel, we lost you there for a minute, unfortunately. Yeah. You are back.
Start over when you said, and UNLV.
After the schedule, you want to go through the rest of your thoughts then, please. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Sure. To summarize, two transfers, Pop Isaacs and Jemiah Neal, a great defensive player of the year in Kalk Brenner with Ashworth scoring as well, but they lost Trey Alexander and Baylor Shireman. So I think number 15 in the poll is just about right.
Well, Slica, do you think this Crane team could win this conference this season?
Honestly, I mean, we hadn't gotten to it yet, but I do think Creighton would be my pick, at least as far as winning the regular season crown. But outside of UConn last year, it's pretty rare in the new Big East that the top seed is going to be a surefire thing as far as winning the conference tournament, at least outside of UConn and Villanova.
Well, Greg, now that we've completed all any teams that matter in this conference, let's move down to Georgetown and I guess we should talk about. I was doing this on purpose. Let's talk about the defending national champions. You know how that was just a little shout out to our good friend Zach Singer, who is a UConn guy, but we had to bounce him down a bit in the show. But yes, UConn won it all for the second straight time last year. What do you think about them heading into this season?
Well, I wish Zach was here so he could hear my thoughts on it. And I don't know. I think we're overvaluing what they've done in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. And, you just can't anoint this program as an elite level blue butter that Dan Hurley is some top level coach. I mean, four starters have left the team. That can't the guy retain anybody? What's his problem?
Yeah, but Matt, in all seriousness, Caravan is back. They still have a ton of talent, and this is probably going to be another very, very good team.
Yeah, that's what they'd be my pick to win it objectively in that. Say, like, obviously, Caravan, I like some of their younger guys, especially Solo Ball, and that, and I think, yeah, Liam McNeil is going to be one of the top 5 or 10 frosh. And then Samson Johnson, he's a little bit different than Donovan Clingan, but still, like, close to 7 foot, super athletic, super long, still be a good rim protector in that. It can help out a defense that might be a little slow, especially if you're playing Mahaney, Caravan, and McNeely all at the same time, which I think they'll do a fair amount. But you'll have Johnson at the rim who might erase it when guys get by them.
Dorman, let me ask you a question. Beyond these three teams that are ranked heading into the season that all look like really good teams, who would be your next best team in this conference at this point?
I think I'm going to go with Coach Rick Pitino and the Johnnies. They went to Seton Hall and they plucked Kadari Richmond. Kadari Richmond has the ability to be a really big-time player. He's had all the talent in the world. He was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. He was very good at Seton Hall, and he scores and he rebounds and he gets steals and he passes the ball. So he's got the whole game. If he can pick it up and be totally committed to the team, that's my only concern, is sometimes he gets a little selfish and it's just, I'm going to shoot every single time, or I'm not, you know, and mentally he checks out sometimes. If Coach Pitino can get him mentally straight, I think St. John's could be top 4 or 5 in the Big East this year.
Yeah, and Griggs, I really think that Pitino may finally actually have his type of player here in St. John's as well.
Yes.
He really has his type of roster.
Right. Somebody, you know, we've discussed the type of coach that you have to be in this new NIL and transfer portal era to where you're reloading a lot instead of building talent from year to year. Well, Rick Pitino adapted to that long, long ago, and I think you're right. He's rebuilt the roster the way he wants it, with guys that can play his system. And I agree. I think St. John's is going to do great this year. I love him as a coach. I don't as a coach, but
Got to throw a shout out here. If you don't follow Rick Pitino on Twitter, you should. He's actually very funny on there. His tweet today was about the fact that he brought his dog to practice and all the dog did was pee all over the court. So
when I do that, I get arrested.
Deservedly so. Stalika, you are a Xavier guy. Your Musketeers, for about the 15th season in a row, have already lost a guy in preseason. But how about them heading into this year, and how healthy are they, at least the rest of the team, guys like Fremantle?
Sometimes it's the timing of the injuries. Last year, when both Fremantle and Hunter went down with various ailments and conditions, they had to frantically get like a 3 European players from overseas. So if you look at where they're playing this year, Charleston, Illinois, Chicago, and Hawaii, that does not exactly scream Big East level talent right here. But with Fremantle and Hunter back, even though they may not be some of the best defensive players, they do give some offensive punch that the team last year had sorely lacked. You'll still get Davion McKnight also coming back in the backcourt, who's also good for a couple steals per game. But you're also getting a lot of scoring and experience out of the transfer portal, albeit in the guard position. So Dante Maddox Jr. coming out of Toledo, Marcus Foster coming out of Furman, and Ryan Conwell coming over from the trees. These are guys that have all averaged at least a 16 points a game at their respective schools. But if you're looking for a big man, they also got John Hughley, the fourth out of Oklahoma, who will give some limited experience. And Xavier actually did see him a couple years ago in the NCAA tournament when he was playing for the Panthers. So they did get a bit of a sneak preview at him. But as far as who's out for the year, that's going to be Trey Orr out of Long Beach State, who is supposed to be the starting center. So they're going to be lacking in that spot, but they should not be lacking for scoring options this year.
Yeah, interesting point there. That is a loss. I certainly don't think they'll be quite as good without him as they would have been with him. But this is still a team with a lot of pieces, and I gotta Xavier has not really. They went to a Sweet 16 2 years ago, but outside of that, they have not been NCAA tournament regulars. Is this the year that starts to maybe get turned around?
Well, let's not forget what I said during the Big Ten podcast. We had to chop down the Travis Steele coaching tree and throw it into the wood chipper. So I think this is going to be another step in that direction. So there are certainly expectations that this team on Victory Parkway should return to the NCAA tournament this year. But what was looking like a potential top three finish in the Big East, that's going to be tempered slightly.
Tytel, another team that had a bad injury situation last year was Providence with when Bryce Hopkins went back. It went down. Is he back? And is his team going to be back?
He is. They should be okay. I don't know if he's 100% yet. I think he's close to, if not
That's
at,
what I'm
and
hearing, yeah.
when healthy, he is a first team all Big East caliber player. They also bring in Jabri Abdur-Rahim from Georgia, Wesley Carter Jr. from Chicago State, and Christ, even though it's spelled Christ, Essendoko from St. Joe's. So plenty of nice pieces around him. I wasn't sure if they would survive the departure of our good friend Ed Cooley, but they seem to have done quite well without him. And I think a healthy Hopkins means that this could be an top of the top half Big East prior team.
Yeah, I think this Providence team has a shot to contend for a bid this year, especially if Hopkins is healthy. Matt, last year, Seton Hall Pirates cut down the nets as a champion, not an NCAA champion, but a champion, if I'm correct, of the NIT. How about Shaheen Holloway's team this year?
Ooh, man, that's what I think they're gonna take a step back this year, especially losing Kenari Richmond in the transfer portal. They don't have a ton of size on their roster. Shooting depends. Like Scotty Middleton hit a good clip for an unlimited amount in Ohio State, but then if he's the focal point and guys focus on the perimeter, that 40%+ might be like in the low to mid 30s, and suddenly you have another team that can't shoot. So you're not real big, you can't shoot. You could be pretty good defensively because I think Shaheen Holloway teams will be always be good defensively, but man, like I don't think they're gonna score enough to compete with the top few teams we've mentioned and one or two others that still we've neglected.
Well, you mentioned Kadari Richmond, but Dre Davis also left in the portal to go to Ole Miss. So that's another experienced player the Pirates are going to be missing this year.
And again, the other guy could shoot a little bit, had a little size, about 6'6", 6'7", and that really. Was it? I mean, Sky Milton was a nice guy, I think, from Ohio State, in that. But other than that, their other portal gets were not the level we've mentioned with like St. John's, Creighton, Xavier, or like Marquette, who brings most of your rotation back and has a good developmental system. Seton Hall probably needs to play the developmental game because they're not going to be competitive in the portal.
Dorman, how about the Butler Bulldogs this year? I think this could be a very interesting team.
It's an interesting year in Indianapolis for Butler. They're going to bring back a few guys. Pierre Brooks, I believe, comes back, and Jamel Telford. They'll be the heart and the soul of the team. They'll be looked on to score plenty. I just don't know if that's going to be enough talent and enough scoring. For Butler to get to the top of this conference, I think not, but I don't think they're dead and buried. I think this Butler team will be heard from this year. I think middle of the conference would be a nice solid year for the Bulldogs.
Chuck, can I ask you something? What, because I like this Butler team. I like Thad Matta. I think that they have potential as a program. What interests you in this particular campaign? Do you think they're going to be good?
pretty much exactly what Dorman said. I like the fact that the two guys, Brooks and Telford, are coming back. They were the heart and soul of the team. They are the, I don't know other than Marquette who's really bringing back their top two players in this league at all, other than if Marquette, Butler, maybe Creighton also you could throw in there, but I don't really know that Creighton really has their top two players back, but Thad Matta
We brought our top two players back, albeit from 2 years ago.
The top two players from last year, not the top two players from 2 years ago. Point taken, Salika. No, but I think that this could be the surprise team this year out of this conference. This could be that team that sneaks in on, first four type or at least on the bubble all by the end of the season.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah, I said there's a couple of pieces I like we haven't mentioned. Is yeah, Patrick McCaffrey from Iowa coming actually
Yeah,
transferred done,
that's
and I think it's gonna
interesting.
be a nice fit. And that he did not do all that well at Maryland, but I think Jamie Kaiser is gonna be a real nice fit for how Butler plays. And actually, I think he complements well both Brooks and Telford. If you want to go to a big lineup, play Kaiser at the two, or then Kaiser could play for either the other forwards if you go a little more traditional with the three guards.
Speaking of good coaches like Thad Matta, wait, never mind. Tytel, we're going to go to Villanova. And KenPom in his preseason rankings, and I know that it's done by the computer formulas and there's preseason bias and all that, has had Villanova as the number 20 team in the nation. I'm not certain that they're the number 20 team in the Big East, and there's only
Well,
not even 20
can I
teams in the
say something
conference.
before you go to
Yeah.
Tytel? Ken Pomeroy, he's been on the show before, albeit not for a bit yet, but he has said his preseason rankings, one of the formulas in there is the overall budget, I believe. And yeah, if
Okay.
that's what you're looking at, it makes sense that you would rank Villanova high. That doesn't mean they're going to stay there as the season progresses. So, yeah.
If it is budget, they did spend a ton of money to keep Eric Dixon, but Tytel, anything else that Kyle Neptune's team has?
Yes. The good news about Coach Neptune, he does improve every single year. The bad news is he won 16 in his first year at Fordham, 17 in his first year at Villanova, and 18 last year. So I think you can pencil them in for 19 wins based on his track record.
Yeah, 19. And if he keeps going at that rate, they'll make the round of 64 the next 5 or 6 years. I mean, I don't see the issue here.
I think if he keeps going at that
Yeah,
rate, he'll be getting the 20 wins at a different school than Villanova. But
yeah.
go ahead, Tytel. Any other thoughts on this
Yeah,
team?
Jameer Bricus from LaSalle, Wooga Poplar from Miami, and incredibly, Tyler Perkins from Penn. If you had told me when I was at Penn that a guy on my campus would be transferring to Villanova, I would not have believed it at all. So it says a lot more about the state of college basketball in 2024 than about how old I am. Maybe a little of both. They do lose TJ Bamba, Mark Armstrong, Justin Moore, finally, Tyler Burton, Hakeem Hart, and Lance Ware. They do return the two-time All-Conference power forward and Eric Dixon, but the cupboard is pretty bare. So if there's any opposing coach out there who don't double-team Eric Dixon every night, shame on you.
Tytel, I would like to remind you that in the first year of the Big Five plus one, Villanova finished sixth last year. It would only make sense that they would try to at least improve their city standing.
Oh, man.
Matt, we are going into what is this year two of Ed Cooley here at Georgetown.
Oof.
They've been a laughing stock of the conference for several years now. Is it
Oh,
time for
it's
them to
been
at least
fun.
stop being a laughing stock?
You would think so, but man, like. What scared me last year for that is like I knew like they're gonna take some lumps. They weren't gonna be a tournament team, but man, like they were showing Ewing level efforts for a lot of last year. That's what scared me is you brought in Ed Cooley, but when Ed Cooley got the bag to go to Georgetown today, I wonder if he's on cruise control now. Because man, that team showed some sad looking effort last year at times, and that's what scares me even for this year is like, is there gonna be a hangover on that? And then one, I think the chief problems of that Jaden Epps is still back.
I was going to say, what he really needs to do is clear out that roster, right?
Yeah, he did
Well, he
sell,
did
but that
that.
was a guy I would have cleared out. I know he was probably your leading guy on paper for in that, but inefficient, ball hog, doesn't play a whole lot of defense, and like just doesn't set the tone of that. Especially when you got Malik Mack out of Kindly told that's find Maryland Eastern Shore or UMBC or somewhere else in the area, not Georgetown.
Greg, you had a comment?
I think they're. I don't think that they're NIT or NCAA good, but I don't think they're the doormats of this league anymore. I think they've got two or three pieces, like Epps being one of them, And I'm trying to think of that guy's name that came over from TCU. That was it. They're
Mike
not going to.
Epivi.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, PV. And I just think that there's three players that are going to make a difference. They're not going to. I think they're going to easily win more than 10 games and maybe around 500. Again, not as good as what they want to be, but a lot better than what they've been.
One other team to discuss at this conference, and Dorman, given that they're in your backyard here, how about the Paul Blue Demons and the Chris Holtmann era here?
Yes, the Chris Holtmann era begins in Chicago. This is maybe going to sound crazy and sad all in one statement. This is probably the most talented DePaul team in about 10 years. He's actually Holtmann put a bunch of pieces together, which some of them have decent to good talent. He's bringing in Landon Blocker from Arkansas. If you remember, Drake had a really good guard last year, Connor Enright. He got him to come to Chicago. And he's got a big man in David Skogman, who comes in from Davidson, who's big, but he can shoot the ball. I think middle of the pack this year would be obviously a huge step up for where they've been, but I don't think they're going to be at the bottom of the conference with Chris Holtmann in charge anymore. I think they're not going to run up to the top of the conference here, but they can win some games this year. And there's some teams that aren't that they have as much talent as. I think Chris Holtmann gets it at least going in the right direction in year one.
Yeah, it does help that every single player on that roster last year is gone. So this is a 100% new roster, which is a good thing after what they've been doing recently.
Dorman, what made you think that DePaul decided they needed to make a coaching change? What?
Well, the average of 12 attendees per game was an issue. The talent level was an issue.
The 29
And
losses may have had something to do with it.
yes, maybe. Chicago State being the best team in the city probably had an issue. There was a lot of problems. And like Chad said, they totally cleaned house. He didn't keep anyone. He wanted everything fresh. He came in, he was going to do it his way. None of the coaches got to stay, none of the staff stayed. So this is all Chris Holtmann, and he's doing it piece by piece.
He also got all new fans also. He threw out those 12 guys.
14 of them.
Well, Chad, you realize 10 of those were opposing teams fans, right?
Oh, they're gone too. Anyhow, what I like to do at this point is what we do at the end of each of these podcasts is go through each of you with three questions. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Number two, how many bids is the league going to get? And number three, any other final thoughts you have about on the league at all? And Salika, since you're up on my screen, I'll go to you first on this.
I already teased it earlier, Rock Chalk, Kalkbrenner, and Creighton to win the Big East. And then I'll go five teams to go to the NCAA tournament with Creighton, UConn, Marquette, Xavier, and St. John's to get in there. But as far as a final thought, it really is going to be a bit of a now or never season as far as Kyle Neptune and Villanova goes, because I've even seen on some of the Xavier boards, for example, they've been picked as low as a 10th by some of the fans because they probably think at least that highly that Ed Cooley will probably manage to get a little bit more juice out of Georgetown. But
Oh, he will.
you look at a team like DePaul, you certainly can't get worse than 0-21 in the Big East. But I'd like to think that Holtmann could probably coax at least a 2 to 3 wins out of the Blue Demons this year in conference play.
Matt.
All right, so we go with UConn as the champ. Same five teams, the same exact five that Stalinga took. I think that might be fairly consensus. And my final thought is, man, like, the one thing I'm excited about for this college hoop season, at least especially more than everything, is like the Big East remained intact. It's a normal looking conference, a normal amount of teams, and that play a double round robin still. And for some of these other weird conglomerations of 16, 18 teams and that this could be a mess. At least the Big East, you still got one true conference at the high major level.
We didn't mention at the top of the show, this is the only power conference that did not change its membership this year. Dorman.
I'm going with five as well to go to the tournament. I think I'm crazy for going against Connecticut because what has anyone seen that they should go against Connecticut? But I love Marquette's pieces, and I'm going to go with Marquette. And my final thought, Matt, stole my thunder. I bashed the ACC leadership, and they're in trouble going the wrong way. I give Val Ackerman, the Big East commissioner, a lot of credit. Like Matt said, she kept all these teams together. And people are saying, well, most of them are just basketball. Well, they raided Gonzaga, and they got Gonzaga a lot of money. Plenty of these teams could have been raided. They are from big time media cities that plenty of conferences would have loved to have brought to their TV partners. I'm with Matt. They did a great job keeping this conference together. Everyone's playing everyone twice. The travel isn't crazy. Great job by the Big East.
I actually completely agree with everything Dorman said there, including the teams, five teams, and I have Marquette winning this conference as well. Tytel, how about you?
If the over-under is five, I'm going under. I think that UConn, Creighton, St. John's, Marquette all make it. And even though Creighton, I think, is better on paper than UConn, I just cannot pick against UConn because they're so freaking good. As far as Xavier, I don't like the history. Chris Mack's fourth year, they missed the tournament. Travis Steele's fourth year, they missed the tournament. I know this is technically not Sean Miller's fourth year, but rather like his 40th year there with the previous administration, but it is year number four most recent, or it's year number three most recent. So I guess maybe he'll make it this year, but I have my doubts. I think UConn's going to win the conference. And then my final thought is a little trivia for you all. Who was the last team to beat UConn in the NCAA tournament, and who was the coach?
Ooh, I should remember that, but I don't.
Oh, New Mexico. Is that New Mexico and Jans, I believe?
New Mexico State and Chris Jans.
Oh, New Mexico.
Wow, man.
I had UConn going.
I will send you.
Yeah.
That's funny. I had UConn going fire like 2 or 3 years before they started doing it because I believed it early, but man, like.
Yeah, since that point, those two programs have gone in slightly different directions.
Very slightly. Great. Griggs, why don't you finish off the show?
I'm actually going to go. Well, UConn, as much as I don't want Zach to hear me say it, is my pick to win the conference. I think Marquette is way up there, too, as is Creighton. I think all three of those could contend and will likely earn protected seeds. I know that wasn't a question, but that's how good I think they are. And I think three more make it. I actually think six out of this conference go. I like the Johnnies. I like Xavier. And believe it or not, I like the Butler team you talked about. They're kind of my dark horse in this conference. I think that they can
sneak you
in.
Beat me up on why I like them.
No, I just asked why you like them, because I like them too. You and I normally don't agree on much.
I don't like them anymore.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Any other final thoughts?
No, I think that's all I got. My brain is empty now.
Okay. On that note, then, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We will be back again with our Big 12 preview, which we'll be recording, I think, tomorrow night. Should be up on the website day after you see this one, whatever day this gets posted. You can check out all those preseason podcasts up there on the season preview tab.
There they are.
All the other great content that's up there. Also, the exhibition game schedule is up there, which hopefully Griggs doesn't mess up again and leave games out of. But yeah. On behalf of David Griggs, David Dorman, John Salica, John Tytel, Matt Sikowski, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you again real soon.